Susan Frank talks to the animals and you. It's Wild About Pets on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to the show. My next guest, Catherine Manola, also has a passion. And her passion is to educate others about the best nutrition for your dogs. Do you know why the ingredients in your food matter so much? And easy things to do to increase your pet's health? Today, you'll find out. Welcome, Catherine. I'm thrilled to have you on the show today.
Hi, Susan. Great. Thank you.
Catherine Manola started Go Dog Go in Oswego, Illinois in 2008, and it's a store that focuses on finding and providing the best products available for your active dog, as well as products and services that will enhance your relationship with your dogs. We'll be looking at some photos during the show today, so if you'd like to see them while you're listening, make sure you have the Talk Zone player window open. It shows me in the studio, and the photos will flash in the window as we talk. Our phone lines are also open. It's Friday, July 29th. You can call 1-888-463-6748 or email me at Susan@WildAboutPets to ask Catherine a question about what you need to know about your pet's nutritional needs. So, Catherine, again, I'm going to ask you the same question. How did you come by this passion about pet nutrition? How did you get involved with that?
Well, it started when I had a dog who had issues and was losing hair and had continuous skin infections. Took her to several different vets, and their answer was always antibiotics and steroids, which wasn't taking care of the problem. It would relieve the symptoms, but the problem kept coming back. And I finally, through a friend of mine, heard about a wonderful vet, Dr. Becker, and I took her to see Dr. Becker. And as soon as I changed her diet, she started growing hair again and no more skin infections. And she became a very vibrant, healthy dog at the age of 11. So I realized that good nutrition makes all the difference in the world and have also applied it to myself. So.
Yes, well, and we'll get into some of the details. We're looking at a photo here of you, Catherine, and your dogs. Now, the dog that you were first mentioning, do we have a picture of this dog here?
No, I did not send you a picture. Okay. Her name was Adrian, and she was a part pit bull, part Weimaraner. And I forgot to send you a picture, so I apologize.
Oh, well, that's okay. You can always do that. But here we see that you have these four dogs currently.
Yes. Well, Ellie passed away 2 years ago. She's the one that is standing. And I got 14 great years from her due to her nutrition. So.
Now, you also have done agility trials or agility with your dogs. And we have a wonderful picture. We see Maggie May, and we'll have another picture of her later on. And, of course, I've met Maggie.
Yes.
And she used to do agility a lot. And then Georgia. So you not only, of course, have had dogs for many years and learned a lot about them, but you probably, I would suppose, Catherine, needed to know more about the nutrition because these dogs were highly active.
Oh, yes. Maggie was a cattle dog, chow mix. She came to me at 6 weeks old from a shelter. So I wanted to make sure that I gave her the best nutrition that I did. And she was extremely active. So I had to make sure that, her bones were supported, her digestive system, everything, as she was jumping, climbing, running around, and just being a crazy puppy. So. She gave up agility 2 years ago because she has a bad back, but we have been proactive with that and treating it. So, she's doing fine. And Georgia, I see you have a picture of Georgia up right now. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And, she's very active in rally. She is not a, runner around and a climber and jumper. She's more into the being close to me. So she is a rally expert. She loves to do rally. Yep.
All right. Well, I'll change that. So here you started learning a lot about nutrition, and I understand you took a lot of training and have some certifications. How did this all lead to your store, Catherine, Go Dog Go? And we have a picture of the exterior and the interior. And this is, you call it a healthy pet place, and it's much more than a pet store. How did this come about?
Well, in 2007, after working, I'd say, almost 30 years in the lawn and garden business, the company I was working for decided to downsize, and they had let me go. And a little voice in my head just told me when one door closes, another one opens. And I am so passionate about my dogs and their health that I decided, well, it's time. I'm not getting any younger. It's time to open a store. So that's what I did. Tried to to educate people and let them know that their dogs should not just survive. They should thrive. They should be happy, healthy friends.
Well, let's get into this. So first of all, Catherine, obviously we're going to need to be more brief than we could be on all these subjects. So we're going to give a little taste of this, but obviously, you know, there's so much to know about it. I just want to give, our listeners some really practical information, and we'll cover a number of things. What would you say, first of all, is what you want people to know about the relationship between what their dogs eat and their overall health?
Oh, well, first let's get rid of the fallacy that dogs should be on one kind of food for their whole life. You and I don't eat the same thing day after day after day, and your dog shouldn't either. If your dogs were out in the wild, they would be eating a variety of wild animals. So being domesticated, they should still eat a variety of food. The more variety that your dog has, and cat too, the healthier their digestive system's going to be. We could not exist on eating oatmeal day to day to day, and your dog shouldn't have to do that either. So I would say variety being most important, and water, adding water to your dog's food. If they're on a dry food, they should definitely have water added to their food. If they were eating raw meat, that raw meat would be mostly water, so their digestive system needs that.
Well, what about... Oh, I'm sorry. What about the people who are just saying, well, wait, I put my bowl of water by my dog and my dog drinks that. Is that not enough water?
The dog actually should consume water in their food. It is much easier on their kidneys. It is easier on their bladder. It's easier on their whole digestive system. Their digestive system was meant to eat raw meat, which consists of water. Definitely drinking water helps, but it should be in their food also.
Okay, let's go back to what you were saying about variety for a second. Now, clearly we know a lot of people are taking advantage of the convenience of the commercial processed pet food industry that's been around with us for about 70 years or so. And we have a photograph. I'm not trying to point out any particular foods, but I'm just showing, you know, all the different commercial foods there are in the grocery stores. So we're going to get into a little bit about, you know, what is important in some of these commercial pet foods, Catherine. But when you say variety, do you mean that I should be feeding lots of different brands or different flavors? Help us with that. What do you mean?
I would say it's more the protein and the different varieties and flavors. I think a dog and a cat should sample different protein varieties. You should not be feeding chicken. And it has been proven that by feeding the same protein day in and day out will create food allergies in your pet as well as humans. So changing proteins, do chicken one bag, do a pork one bag, do beef one bag. So changing the protein is very important. Changing the varieties, also very important. And look for a high protein dog food. It should be 25% or better for your dog.
Okay, I am talking to Catherine Manola, owner of Go Dog Go in Oswego, Illinois, about how to improve your pet's health through what you feed it. Our phone lines are open. It's Friday, July 29th. Call 888-463-6748. You can email me at susan@wildaboutpets.net. Now, I know a lot of you listen to the shows, but don't call in. I do want to encourage you to either go to Catherine's website, and the link is there on my show page, and we'll announce that in a minute, or stop in her store. You can talk to her and her very educated staff. And also, she's got many resources, some books, because I know what we're mentioning is probably going to fly in the face of what your vet may have told you and what you've been hearing throughout your life. Like, wait a minute, no, if they find one food, stick to it. So I know we're touching on some things that may be very new to you. Please do some more research about it. Catherine, let's talk about this whole thing with raw food, because people are starting to learn more about it, but people are also very leery of it. I have a photo showing some wolves, you know, out in the wild, and we know dogs, basically their ancestors were wolves. In a nutshell, what is this thing about raw, and how do we counter people's misconceptions about it?
Well, I think the biggest problem that people have with raw is that we're so scared we're going to catch salmonella or some disease. I myself am, because I've had a kidney transplant, I'm immune suppressed. I've never gotten sick from feeding my dogs raw food. I just make sure and wipe my counter off, keep my dog's bowls clean. Dogs' digestive systems are different than ours. Their food goes through much faster. They got domesticated by eating garbage, so I think their chance of catching salmonella is slim to none. Raw food is the way they're meant to eat. That's what their digestive systems were meant for. Now, I know a lot of people are a little put off by it, by price or by convenience. There are some decent dry foods out there, but dogs, of course, were meant to eat raw. And the more active that your dog is, I think, is the most important thing to feed them raw. They're getting their enzymes and their protein and their water with their raw food, which is things that they need to thrive.
Now, what about cans, the processed cans?
Cans are second best, I would say, to raw. I would say it's raw, then cans, then kibble in that order. Finding a good quality canned food is not that difficult. It's also a little on the pricey side. I actually think raw would probably be cheaper at that point.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, actually, Catherine and I had spoken to a vet, and he made a very great point, and someday I hope the statistics are out. And his point was, if you really add up all the money you have spent at vets, and he talks about that there's many things that we're taking our pets to vets that we should never be having to do that, and it's related to their diet. If you spent a little bit more money on your pet food, like really high quality or even raw, you'd be spending so much less on your vet bills.
You would see ear infections going away. You would see your teeth not needing to be cleaned because they're eating raw meat with bones in it, which are what's keeping their teeth clean. You would have less skin allergies. You would have so many benefits to feeding a raw diet. I've never had an ear infection. I have four dogs right now. I've never had skin problems on my dogs. Their teeth are beautiful. I have an 8-year-old dog that looks like he's a puppy just from eating raw food.
Mm.
I mean, teeth cleaning alone is $400.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when we're saying raw, people are imagining, and I know there's the books out there that tell people you buy the raw meat, this is what you chop up, here's what you add to it, and people don't want to hassle with that. There is another alternative to that, isn't there? And you sell some of these products.
Yes.
If the people don't want to create their own raw meal, what can they do?
Oh, there's so many varieties coming on the market right now. We handle a few. You can buy patties that are already made, weighed, and in a package, so you don't even have to handle the meat. There are little nuggets. There are big 10-pound chub you can buy to save money and cut it up yourself. There are so many varieties, and they all have the meat and the vegetables, the ground-up bone, and everything that your dog needs, again, to thrive, not just survive. So there's many varieties available. I have, I think, 5 freezers in my store full of food. That's, you know, very easy and convenient.
Great. And obviously there's a lot of people who, you know, do not live in the Chicagoland area and couldn't get into your store in Oswego, Illinois. But I'm sure there's other stores like yours. And if you Google raw foods, you can find out a lot about them. And probably anywhere anyone lives in the country and maybe even other parts of the world, you can find some of these quality foods. Catherine, what about the idea of supplementation? We know in some of the pet foods they're added, but what is your belief? Is the supplements, the vitamins and the minerals that are put in the processed pet foods enough supplementation?
You know, I feel that the vitamins and minerals and, you know, everybody claims they have probiotics, prebiotics put into their dry food. Really? It's cooked out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do believe that if you're going to feed a canned or a dry diet, your dog definitely needs enzymes and probiotics to help their digestive system digest the food. So yes, I believe there is a need for supplementation. If your dog is prone to ear infections or skin allergies, adding coconut oil will help with that. If after your dog has heartworm medication, you can detox their liver with milk thistle. So there are needs for supplements. Again, feeding a raw diet with the fruits and vegetables in it, you don't need as many supplements as you would with some of the other diets.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm struck as you're talking at the idea that if anyone really reads a lot or pays attention to our food sources and the way our foods are processed these days, that even for humans, we're not getting the nutrients, you know, here kind of in this Western, you know, part of the world where we eat a lot of processed foods or the fruits or vegetables that are shipped, that we don't get the proper nutrients and we as humans need to supplement. Wouldn't you say this is a way to help people understand why their pets would also need some of that same supplementation?
Definitely. And you know how we're told you want to be healthy, you shop the outside of the grocery store and you get fresh and natural. That's pretty much what the raw food is. Now, it kind of went backwards with me. I learned with my dogs that feeding them good nutrition made them healthier. And I'm thinking to myself, well, whoa, maybe I need to do that with myself. So, yeah, there are supplements that we need. But then again, if we eat better, we don't need as many supplements. And unfortunately, that's a whole nother subject, too, because we see so much obesity and diabetes with people. Mm-hmm. We're starting to see it more and more in dogs.
What do you recommend then? Obviously, you must have some people come in, you know, human companions, other pets, who have some overweight dogs. What's the first thing you really want to talk to about that with them?
Well, first of all, I'm known in Oswego as the weight Nazi when it comes to dogs. And
I hadn't heard that.
Yes. you know, we control what they eat, period. We are the ones responsible for what we put into our dogs. So I really try to kindly tell them your dog is a little overweight, and for each pound that your dog is overweight, you're basically cutting 6 months off their life.
Hmm.
Now, but I love my dog. He's mm-hmm. always hungry. Yes. Mm-hmm. Dogs are always hungry. They're scavengers. They're hunters. They're going to be hungry. If you love them, you'll feed them less. That's what I tell people.
Our phone lines are open. You can call 888-463-6847 in order to ask Catherine a question. We still have a couple more minutes here. Well, that's so interesting also, Catherine, because what I hear is, well, yes, my animal or even my cat, they're so hungry and I don't want to starve them and they're still gaining weight. And what I've learned, and I'd love you to comment on this also, is one of the problems with the, what we would call the less, quality pet foods, especially the dry ones that have a lot of the plant proteins, we're talking about the corn, the wheat, the soy, mm-hmm. are they act as fillers, and sometimes our animals are overeating because they can't get the nutrition they want.
Exactly. They're not getting the protein that they need. You look at a dog's teeth. Look at their teeth. They are meant to tear flesh and eat meat. Feeding them corn, feeding them wheat, feeding them soy, feeding them any of the, they're not cows. Cow's teeth and horse's teeth, flat. They grind grain. Dogs aren't meant to eat grain. So, yes, the more I found, my dogs really aren't that hungry. They're getting the protein that they need from their diet. Protein, fruits, and vegetables. They don't need the grain. The grain is a convenience. It makes our dog food cheaper. So it's just a filler. And definitely, it's just like people. The more that we eat bread and the carbs, the heavier we're going to get.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense to me. And fortunately, I think that we're learning in the industry, and that's why I think we are seeing finally some more of the grain-free foods. Now, I know another area of your expertise, Catherine, and you share this information with a lot of people when they come into your shops, and even you've led some workshops, is reading labels. So if we're talking about it's important, and let's talk about, let's say, the dry or the canned food, to make sure it's a high-quality food, what are the things that people need to know about when they look at that label?
Well, first of all, you want to make sure that there's at least 25% protein in that label. Now, people get a little freaked because the higher the protein, the higher the fat. That's okay. Dogs need fat. You want to make sure that your first three ingredients are meat or meat meal. That's really important. And if you look at some of the quote-unquote grocery store brands, your first few ingredients are corn or corn byproducts. You want to make sure there's no meat byproduct in your food. That is, let's just say, basically no better than roadkill, mm-hmm. and you don't want to feed that to your pet. There's no BHT, BHA. There's no food coloring. All of those are known to be cancer-causing, so you want to make sure that there's none of that in your food. So plain and simple, to make it easy for everyone, 25% protein, first three ingredients, meat or meat-based, no animal byproducts, and no BHT, BHA, and food coloring.
Well, thank you. Here's something I was surprised about, and, you know, I teach pet first aid, and a lot of times people just talk about their animals who are having some stomach problems or a lot of diarrhea or issues, and I learned that canned pumpkin is something that's very beneficial. Tell us about that.
Canned pumpkin is just one of those awesome things. It's got enzymes to help your dog digest the food. It's got fiber so they get rid of the diarrhea, and it's non-fattening. So you can add it to your dog's food to make them feel fuller.
Now, we are not talking about someone going to the store and buying a can of the pumpkin pie filling for our home-baked pies, are we?
Nope, just plain canned pumpkin. And you want to make sure it's just plain pumpkin. You don't want the pumpkin pie filling.
All right, so we have to make sure, like I have a picture, it's 33, that shows this is clearly for the pumpkin pie. Now, I mentioned it's got to be the kind that's specially designed for pets, but I could find it in a human grocery store, and as long as, so it's less sugar, isn't that the point?
Correct, yes, and it's just plain pumpkin, like I said, it solved many a digestive disorder in pets, because cats like it too.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Well, that's a great piece of information. Well, we've got
a little tip.
Yes.
I feed my dogs, if they need a pill or something, put it in some pumpkin. They take it right off my finger.
All righty. We have a couple more minutes left. I want to talk a little bit more about some of the workshops and services and events you have in your shop. And we do have, I had to put this picture up. Our last photograph here is Maggie May looking right. This is just so cute. I know you must love this photograph. But since this is all for the love and health of the pets, tell us, beyond you being a pet store where you're selling these great products, you try and really contribute and educate the public. Tell us about some of the different kind of workshops you've been doing and what may be coming up in the near future.
Okay, well, we've tried to do a lot of nutrition workshops, you know, have people come in so we can teach them about nutrition. We've actually had some massage workshops. We've had some pet first aid. So we try to get, we talked about essential oils, we talk about supplements. We even had a Kong stuffing class so people could bring their Kongs in and learn that just squirting some stuff out of a can, there's so many options to put, healthy options to put in your Kong and to feed your puppy, to keep your puppy busy. So we have all sorts of things going on all the time. You can check our website. We do dog walking. We have a dog walking club. We meet twice a month at the park and walk along the river. So that also helps socialize your dog and get used to other dogs and other people. So we have things going on all the time. You can check our website. We have adoption events. We have adoption events either two or three every month. And we've been able to have dogs adopted out every time that somebody comes, and that's our passion, rescuing dogs.
Yeah, I think that's great, and, you know, the first half of my show was talking about that very issue with all the dogs and cats that are in desperate needs of homes, and I'm very impressed by any shop that is trying to help with that, and I know, Catherine, because, of course, I've been in your shop a number of times, mm-hmm. That you do have these great adoption events, so I encourage people to go to those also. The website is www.go-dog-store.com. Let me repeat that. It's go-dog-store.com. And I mean the actual symbol dash, not spell it out. But of course, I do have the link that's also here where under links related to the show. So if there was one or two things also about responsible dog or pet ownership, Catherine, that you would want to relate, besides some of what you've kind of mentioned, what would come to your mind?
That dogs are your best friends, that you should treat them as such. I agreed with Linnea when she said that people have to look at our animals not just as things. They have feelings. They have personalities. They want to be treated with respect, and they will treat you with respect in return. I think sometimes we look at our animals as, she said, just commodities, and I see so many dogs that have been neglected, abused, or just thrown away, and it's a very sad situation.
Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, when I'm teaching my pet first aid, as I do, I have to talk about the legal aspect. I do mention that in this country, you know, dogs are considered property currently. So I know that's kind of been in the mindset, and we're coming such a long way in changing the way we think, with all the experts and authors really starting to speak out about what we know about animals having these emotions and how our feelings, you know, are transmitted very quickly and represented by our pets. So I think the consciousness is starting to change somewhat. And I know that you have your part in trying to change this consciousness also.
We can do it one dog at a time.
What would you say you've personally learned the most as you have started this journey, Catherine, having the store and talking to people and, of course, living and loving the animals in your life?
What have I learned the most? People are really very passionate about their dogs. It's unexplainable. I have no idea why we love our dogs so much. I think it's the same with people that love their cats. And that there really are a lot of good people out there. I think that's probably the one lesson that I've learned, that there really are a lot of good, caring people. And that we have made great progress. It used to be the country was killing 20 million animals a year, and we're down to 4 million, but it's still 4 million too many.
Mm-hmm. We're just about out of time, so my guest today has been Catherine Manola, owner of Go Dog Go in Oswego, Illinois, the healthy pet place. You can find the link to the Go Dog Go's website on the Talk Zone episode page and the wildaboutpets.net Look While You Listen page, as well as the additional resources section. Catherine, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, Susan, thank you. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening. And as usual, if you've got any questions or comments, please feel free to write me at wildaboutpets.net. Remember, that's wildaboutpets.net. Net rhymes with pet. Hope to see you again on the show. Bye-bye.